We continue our study in the prophecy of Zechariah. This day, the first five verses of chapter 10. It's going to be found on page 900 or 797, page 797 in the Pew Bibles. If you brought your own, Zechariah is the second to last book in the Old Testament. Beloved people of God, hear the word of God himself this morning. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation of the field. For the household gods utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. My anger is hot against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders. For the Lord of hosts cares for his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like his majestic steed in battle. From him shall come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler, all of them together. They shall be like mighty men in battle, trampling the foe in the mud of the streets. They shall fight because the Lord is with them. They shall put to shame the riders on horses. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to it this morning. Beloved people called to be saints, leadership is a serious, serious business. We see what happens in nations where leadership exists only to puff itself up to increase its own power. We've seen what happens in businesses where leaders seek to line their own pockets at the expense of employees and customers. I'm sure many, if not all of us, can point to painful examples where leadership has failed in the home, destroyed entire households with even generational effects. And beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is no different. The church at any time and place. Often Scripture speaks of God's people as a flock of sheep and their leaders as shepherds. Look back at verse 2 from our text. Look back just two verses from our text to Zechariah 9, verse 16. We read there last week, on that day the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people. Like the jewels of a crown they shall shine on his land. God's people are his precious sheep, his flock. They belong to him. We belong to God. We found that in our passage last week, that one day God's promise of salvation would be that he would rescue and save his flock. We noted that our Lord Jesus' death on the cross was the watershed moment of that salvation. Even while we look forward to a day of more full abundance and the fullness of our salvation upon his return. And now here in our text this morning, the inspired prophet Zechariah outlines a problem for God's people as they await the coming of this shepherd. There's an issue. They're wandering sheep because those called to be shepherds refused to lead in a godly manner. Because of this, people wandered to the temples of other gods. They found themselves wanting to be just like all the other nations around them. But that's not what our God calls us to, beloved. Our God calls us, as will be our theme this morning, our God calls us to find truth and strength in him alone. Our God calls us to find truth, to find strength, our hope in him alone. We'll take this up under two points, headings. First, the flock without a shepherd, and then the promise of restoration. The flock without a shepherd, and then the promise, the good news of restoration. Well, congregation, Zechariah the prophet begins with an inspired call to repentance for God's people. We read last week that the Lord would appear over them, that he would manifest his presence permanently and gloriously better than the pillars of smoke and fire in the wilderness, more glorious than the lightning and thunder and the earthquakes at Mount Sinai. But he calls them to repentance, and maybe that causes you to scratch your head, but I hope we'll see how this is a call to repentance. Look again at verse 1. Ask rain from the Lord in the season of the spring rain, from the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain to everyone, the vegetation of the field. God's people needed to realize once again that all things come from his fatherly hand, not from the hands of idols or foreign gods, not by the hands of an earthly judge or king, but by his hand. Pray for rain, the Lord says, and I will give it. You see, he doesn't need to make such an assertion if there's not a problem. People seeking that somewhere else. Why does God need to tell them to come to him and ask for rain from him? Because his people so easily wander and seek that hope, seek the rain from other places. Pray to me for rain and I will give it. Pray to me for the yield of the harvest and I will give it. Know that the changing of the season that you depend on comes from my sustaining hand, not that of dumb and deaf gods of sticks and stones. You won't find hope there. You won't find strength there. You won't find truth there. You won't find it in any of these places. Well, if you know Israel's history, this wandering from the true shepherd was a very common problem. They often lacked a good shepherd. This was true even when things went well for God's people, wasn't it? The shepherds, conquest leaders, judges, kings, even the good kings, well, they often led the people astray. Israel needed a good shepherd, not a worldly king, not a leader. Just like all the other nations, they needed God himself. They needed the shepherd. So as I said, how do we know this was a problem? How do we know that the Lord needed to call his people to repentance once again? Well, look at verse 2. You have the call to pray for rain. The Lord himself would give it. Why? Because here's the problem. For the household gods utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for lack of a shepherd. Those things that Israel depended on, perhaps for where the rain would come from, where they would find their hope and where they would find their peace, they uttered nonsense, the Lord says. Household gods were like good luck charms to the people of Israel. They would use them to try to figure out the future. They were these things that they could arrange and pray to them. And Israel thought that they would receive news about what was to happen, something they could visibly see. They also would go to these diviners that the text speaks of. These were those who would have visions or dreams that they also said could tell the future. So Israel would cling to the hope there. Perhaps they would also look for good or bad omens, signs in nature that pointed towards future events. It was in these visible things, dreamers, diviners, idols, omens, signs in nature, that they would find their peace. If I can look at this, this is where I will find my hope. Perhaps we shake our heads and we think we're so much better than Israel. We've seen Jesus, after all. We've placed our faith in Christ. We know of the cross. But beloved, instead of focusing on the fact that Israel was seeking gods made of sticks and stones, let's focus on what they were seeking from these gods of sticks and stones. What they were seeking from these omens that they could see in nature. From the words of the dreamers and the diviners. What was that? Well, verse 2 makes it clear that what they were ultimately seeking, what they were looking for, was comfort, consolation, peace. That's the question, not just for Israel, but for every single one of us in the pews and at the pulpit this morning. Where are you seeking comfort, relief, and peace? Where am I placing my hope? Where am I looking for comfort? It's true, maybe we don't look for omens. Black cats crossing the road at midnight. And so on. All these kind of things. That's silly, we would say. But we are in days of political and cultural turmoil. We desperately want to know where our culture is headed. We want to know what kind of world our children are going to grow up in. Impending socialism, communism, abject atheism. Where do we go to find hope when these things are the forces at play? Well, this political pundit, he has insight into where we're headed. That one tells us what the solution ought to be. Financial planners project how much our RRSPs will grow by the time we're of retirement age. Trying to understand our political context, preparing for retirement, these are not bad things in and of themselves. Where it becomes idolatry, where it becomes a problem of idolatry, is when our comfort and when our peace rise and fall based on our political context, the status of our bank accounts, the status of our children. Where are you looking for comfort? What brings you peace? Beloved, distractions from the true shepherd always seem innocuous and even innocent to us. They seem harmless, but they are anything but harmless. Anything that takes the place of the true comforter, anything that takes the place of our true hope and comfort will destroy us from the inside out. When you wander, as the text says, the sheep are wandering. There's no peace. There's no rest. When you wander, you'll never find contentment. You're blown about here and there by every wind of doctrine. Think about what Paul says in Ephesians 4:14. That those who wander are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, he says, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Does it sound familiar to you? Beloved, it's not meant to be a slam for us. It's miserable. Our text says it's oppression. There in verse 2 of chapter 10, it says that the people are afflicted. Other translations use words like oppression. Do you know what it feels like to be oppressed, to be afflicted? We do, because we seek peace and we seek comfort. The question is, where do we go for it? Where do we find it? Maybe for you, it's relationships. Could it be hobbies? What are the ways that you are seeking consolation? The ways that you seek comfort? The ways that you seek peace? Does it ultimately come from the promise, the presence, the word of God himself? It's not a new problem for God's people. It's not new to us. It's not a modern problem. It wasn't just a problem in the time of Zechariah. Children, do you remember what happened at the time of the judges, right between the time of judges and the kings? What happened? Think of 1 Samuel 8. The people, the elders of God's people, come to Samuel with a question. What was that question? Samuel, give us a what? Give us a king, just like all the other nations. We want to be like them. They seem to be doing okay. If we have that, if we can see our king, then maybe we'll find security. We'll find hope. And Samuel, he felt terrible about this. He thought they were attacking him. And so Samuel goes before God and says, Lord, can you believe what the people are saying? They're asking for a king just like all the other nations. And Samuel says to, the Lord says to Samuel, Samuel, it's not you that the people are rejecting. They're rejecting me. When Israel wanted a king like all the other nations, someone they could see, someone they could look up to, they were saying, we don't need to depend on the Lord. We don't need to be looking to him. We want to look to an earthly leader. We want to look to a shepherd. But that shepherd would not lead them where they thought. He wouldn't give them the peace and the hope and the comfort that they thought he would. And so the Lord gave them a king just like all the other nations. And did that bring them what they wanted? Did that bring them what they thought they needed? No, we read in our text, the people wander like sheep. They're afflicted for lack of a shepherd. What's a good shepherd supposed to do? Beloved, we just sang about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He provides for me. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his glory, his name's sake. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, for he is with me. He'll comfort me with his rod and his staff. My enemies can't get to me. That's the shepherd who is supposed to lead his people, but God's people wanted one they could see. We want one we can see. We want one we can feel. That's not who Israel's leaders had been. And so in verse 3 of our text, the Lord pronounces judgment upon them. My anger is hot against the shepherds. I will punish the leaders. The Lord of hosts cares for his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like his majestic steed in battle. We have two things paralleled there with each other. God's anger and judgment towards those who are supposed to lead his people to himself. And yet the promise, that precious promise that he will lead his people. That he cares for his flock. He would be the one who comforts their flock. We spoke of Simeon last week. Do you remember what the scriptures said that Simeon was doing at the temple when Christ as an infant was brought to him? He was waiting, this text says, for the consolation of Israel. And children, that word consolation is a big word that just means comfort. Simeon was waiting for that one who would come to comfort God's people. As good of a leader as Moses and Joshua were, Israel needed a better leader. As good of a king as David could be, Israel needed a greater king. As majestic and powerful as Solomon was, Israel needed a more majestic and powerful king. Beloved, that king is God himself, the Lord of hosts, as our text says. The Lord who commands armies upon armies. That king will care for his flock. Whereas leaders have fallen short, oh so short, God will excel. For the Lord of hosts cares for his flock, the house of Judah. And he will make them like his majestic steed in battle. He, God alone, will flip that situation of oppression, of affliction, he'll flip it upon its head. That situation of defeat will become one of victory. They'll move from dust and rags to glory. Isn't that what you ultimately desire? What you truly desire? And so therefore, beloved, the good news is that we have that promise of restoration. Secondly, this morning, the promise of the Good Shepherd. Out of Judah will come one who is a majestic steed in battle. From him that is Judah shall come the cornerstone. Look at verse 4 with me. Zechariah 10, verse 4. From him shall come the cornerstone, him being Judah. From him the tent peg. From him the battle bow. From him every ruler, all of them together. In verse 4, Zechariah is giving us that the imagery of foundation, of first things. You can't build something, a building without a foundation. Try to set up a tent without using pegs, and that tent's going to fall down to the ground. Children, a cornerstone of a building holds two walls together. Two walls that couldn't be held together by themselves. The cornerstone joins them with strength that cannot be broken. If you feel like you can't hold it together, when it comes to your own struggles with sin, when it comes to the ways we're trying to find comfort and peace in this world, if you're finding you can't do it and it's not working out, it's because you can't do it. You can't hold it all together. You'll never find comfort and peace and victory by the works of your own hands. As I said earlier, we try to hold our lives together by all sorts of things, being involved in every school committee, every sport league, church events, you name it. We don't stop to be reminded of where our true comfort and peace come from. So we end up feeling out of control because we're not finding our rest and our strength in the one who is the chief cornerstone. The one who grounds us in his grace. The one who is building his church upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We don't find our hope in our true shepherd, God himself. Once God's people look to him, then they will find their enemies defeated. Joshua did many things really well, but he and Israel failed to root out their enemies from the promised land. David was a man after God's own heart, but he too failed in leading God's people, even in his own example to them. Solomon was more beautiful and majestic than any king before him. But we know where his feelings led him, what he ultimately sought his peace and comfort in. His failings were to the point where the kingdom ended up being torn in two. But beloved, our text says that under the rule of the good and true shepherd, all leadership will be united. No more rivalries, no more false worship, no more moral failings at the top. From him, that is, the true cornerstone, Jesus Christ, through this shepherd, his church would pull in the same direction. And now his under-shepherds, they fail often, but beloved, he does not. Verse 5, they shall be like mighty men in battle, trampling the foe in the mud of the streets. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and they shall put to shame the riders on horses. Now, in many ways, this is fulfilled in the work that Christ did in destroying our enemies of sin, dealing with that, putting his foot upon the head of the serpent. But beloved, as we saw last week, there is a better day ahead. Christ came riding upon that foal of a donkey humbly 2 millennia ago. He wasn't much to look at. No one cared that much about him in the broader community. Yes, the Lord grew the church certainly after that, but when Christ was here, even his own people, his brothers, didn't recognize him. When we read something like verse 5 and what we saw in our text last week, when our Lord comes the next time, there will be no doubt. There will be no one who misunderstands. There will be no one who doesn't understand what is going on. And God's people will see their victory in full. So again, we have that tension between what is ours already, what is not yet, what we look forward to, between what Christ has accomplished and what he will accomplish. But beloved, the comfort is ours that right now he reigns. Right now he rules. Surely the church is advancing day by day. There will come a day, as we saw, when King Jesus will come marching in on his white horse. And so now in that time between the times, we're called to trust in him alone, to put aside our fears about the Canadian government, to put aside our fears about the world in which our children will grow up in, to put aside our fears about the threat of the disgusting ideologies that are popping up all around us. To be concerned about them, yes. To fight them, yes. But beloved, to focus more and more on that one who is the Good Shepherd. To focus on the glory of our risen King. And so as you conclude this morning, I ask you, who is the shepherd who leads you? What is the shepherd? Who is the shepherd that you are seeking? As Zechariah says, don't look to the gods who utter nonsense. Look to him alone who gives victory and hope and comfort to the afflicted, to the oppressed. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, there are so many things around us that cause us to fret and to fear, that cause us to be concerned. And indeed, they are things worthy of concern. Things in our world are not as they should be. There are many enemies of you in this world, many enemies of your church. And Lord, even in the church yourself, there have been so many failings over the centuries and years. But Lord, when we remember that we have our true King in you, we have our true King in the work of Jesus Christ who is reigning over us now, oh Father, then we have hope. Then we can have contentment. Then we can have peace. Because we know that whatever comes to pass is part of your sovereign plan. That you are working all things together for our good, even when we don't understand, even when we don't see. That what can man do to us? Because God is for us. And so help us to then deny ourselves, to seek our comfort in you, to take up our cross and to follow you, knowing where we are headed, knowing where this story ends. And Lord, it is a glorious ending. Oh Lord, we ask that you would do this in us by your Holy Spirit, for we cannot do it ourselves. Continue to work within us. Build our faith day by day. Build our habits day by day, our thoughts, the work of our hands. May they align more and more with the kingdom that is ours in Jesus Christ. Father, we ask these things in his holy name, the name of our King, the name of the Good Shepherd.